Welcome the radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. We would like to thank our radio sponsors today, Ms. Terry and Troy Nicholson, in honor of Larry Sharp's birthday. And the flowers on the altar are provided by Terry Nicholson in honor of Troy's birthday. We have a few announcements. We would also like, if you're blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gifts would be appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. We will have a children's night out to give parents a couple of hours break. If you'd like to participate, that it will be Monday, June 13th from 5:30 to 7:30. They will be watching a movie yet to be announced. Children ages 4 to 12 can participate. Parents, if your kids really need time away from you, please bring them down to 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour for a couple of hours. I'm sure they will enjoy the break. Just be sure to pick them up at 7:30. Our next community meal is scheduled for Saturday, June the 18th from 5 to 7. If you need a free meal or just don't want to cook that night, please come and get a free meal and warm communication here at Trinity United Methodist Church. And attention all children from ages preschool to fifth grade. Trinity United Methodist Church is joining with First United Methodist Church to have Vacation Bible School. It will be June 20th through June 23rd from 5:30 to 8 p.m. here at Trinity, 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. Come join us in discovering Jerusalem. And now we'll have special music by Georgie Ann Coons.
Woo! Holy Spirit, living breath of God, renew life into my willing soul. Bring the presence of the risen Lord to renew my heart and make me whole. Come sure, or to come alive in me, give me faith for what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity.
In unity, the face.
Beautiful. And now our scripture reading today will be from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen.
Amen. Before I begin with today's sermon, I would like to remind us that part of coming to church is that we are to draw close to God and to one another. And in these days and times, it is even more important that we draw close to one another, that we draw close to God, that we remain connected and united as the family of God in our church. There are some crazy things happening in the world. There are shootings almost daily that shock me. And then, who's heard of the furries and the otherkins? Has anybody heard of them? It's kind of terrifying, isn't it, Carolyn, to hear such things. Started off in our state anyway, in Brown County, with a child who was running around meowing. That is a child's imagination. But what ended up happening is one of the other kids told this child, "You are not a cat. You are a human being." And this child was dispelled from school for speaking the truth. This child was accused of bullying. And as a result, we now have furries and otherkins, which are, if you believe you're a cat, you're a cat. If you believe you're a dog, you are a dog. And they're talking about putting in litter boxes, giant litter boxes in the school. They're literally having these discussions in Kokomo and in Brown County. The other Kens are a fantasy figure, whether it's from a book or whether it's from a science fiction movie, you can identify as one of these fantasy figures, or as one of these fairies, or as one of these druids. You can identify as anything that you want to be. These are perilous times. And I hope I'm not stepping on any toes here, but I'm going to say it. For us to tell a five-year-old child that they can decide whether they want to be a cat, or a dog, a boy, or a girl, or some type of fantasy figure is absolutely ridiculous. These children do not yet know themselves. They do not yet know what it means to be a human being, let alone have choices that totally confuse them. So I'd like for us to start off by praying right now. Father God, the world's gone crazy, and we are still here. We beg for the day that your son will return and all will be set right. But until then, we ask that you give each and every one of us the courage to live out the truth of your Bible, to live out what we believe is right, to live out what is holy and what is good. And Lord, we ask for protection for our young children. We ask for protection in the crazy things that they learn from day to day, and in the difficult times and in the dangerous times that they have been put in. Lord, we ask for those who are hurting so badly that they do the things that they do that cause disruption and abysmal grief to others, that they be bound, that they be healed, but they be bound, Lord. And we ask your presence in all that we do. And all God's people said, what I want today to really be about is to be drawing close to God and to one another. The story of the day of Pentecost tells of a pivotal event in the history of God and in the world. It tells of the emerging of a very important aspect of the Christian faith and of the birth of the church. It is a story that is exciting to some people, but quite frankly, it is a story that scares other people and makes them want to back away. All this talk about wind and fire and speaking in foreign tongues excites some people, but it turns some people off, and that is okay. It may be that we have focused our attention on the wrong aspect of the story. What was actually happening to those first followers of Jesus where they were experiencing the power of God. And whether they were experiencing the power of God with the rush of the Holy Spirit coming in, whether they were experiencing the power of God by seeing tongues of flames above other people's heads, or whether they were experiencing the power of God by foreign tongues being made known to them in their own tongue, they were having a reality of the experience of the living God. They had been used to having Jesus by their side and seeing in him, the living God. But once Jesus was taken from them, they were sad and they did not know how to respond. They were struggling on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were gathered there on one day, and the unique experience and presence and reality of God, they had been with Jesus. They soon came to know Jesus as one who represented God to them in a very special way. But then Jesus had been crucified. He had taken from them, and they spent time in grief. They must have felt like they had lost everything. But then the resurrection happened, and Jesus appeared to them several times and made known to them the story of their relationship with God was not over. When Jesus appeared to them for the last time, he said to them something that they could not yet understand. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness. Acts 1:8. There was an expectancy, but they did not know what to expect. On the night before he died, Jesus told the disciples many things that they needed to know, but they would not understand for some time yet to come. Jesus gave them a promise that God would send someone to be with them, the Holy Spirit, who would teach them everything they needed to know and remind them of everything that he had already taught them. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to the disciples, and they became aware that God, who had been a living presence with them in Jesus, was still in their world and in their lives. The invisible reality of God became real to them, more real to them than any of the things around them that they could see and they could touch. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples and many others came to experience the presence and the reality of God being made known to them through Jesus Christ. That was what all the commotion was about, that they were able to experience God in their own way. That is something that we all need. Most of us are not what we call charismatic Christians. We have never spoken in unknown tongues or had any desire to. But we should be able to understand why some people want to experience such things and why some people value those experiences. Because to them it means that God has been moving. Something has been done. Something is different in them. The reality of the experience of God for them at that time. There are lots of other ways to experience God's presence and of expressing it, but we all need some kind of experience of the reality of God. Lots of people feel that need very, very painfully because we live in a secularized world where many lives are shaped only by their relationships with the things that they can see and touch. Sadly, some of their primary relationships with the things that they put in the bank, for good and for bad reasons, our culture, our jobs, and our government seem to require us to live in that way. And that leaves us having a flat, two-dimensional experience. Please excuse me. There is a fly who wants to be buzzing around here. This secular way of life can be encapsulated so that nothing can get in. Life in our secularized culture can be at one in the same, frantic and boring, and lots of people feel that something is missing from their lives, the reality and the experience of God. There was a certain young man named Fred, a journalist, a writer, who lived in the secularized world of young adults in a big city, and he became acquainted with another author, Henry Nouwen, a Catholic priest who devoted writings that have been very meaningful to thousands of people. The two men became good friends. Fred became aware that Henry had something special going on in his life, and finally he asked him, "Why don't you write something that will explain the spiritual life to people like me?" Henry accepted the invitation and wrote the book, Life of the Beloved, a book about a spiritual living in a secular world. But ultimately, it didn't work. He was so completely enveloped within the secular lifestyle that nothing written about the spiritual life could be meaningful to him. Both men were disappointed. Many people yearn for something more than the flat and meaningless life that came from just living in relationship with the things that we can see and touch. Some of them seek out fantasy or science fiction, Star Trek, Star Wars, Tolkien's Middle Earth. Some seek it in the world of virtual games, computer games like Dungeons and Dragons. There are many desperately hungry to add another dimension to their lives. But it is not necessary to go adventuring in the world of the unreal to discover a spiritual dimension for our lives. The religion in which most of us grew up can supply what is missing from our lives. It can help us get in touch with a greater reality who is actually there in our real world, one who is alive, one who loves us and one who enables us. One who is always calling us out to have the kind of life that is an actual real adventure. A life filled with the Holy Spirit. A life filled with Jesus Christ. But how can that happen? There is no easy formula for making it happen. No magic word you can say and presto, there will be God. Our lives are unique and complex. Our life experiences have led us in many different places in life. Our abilities and our disabilities to perceive and to relate are all different. The experience of the reality of God is likely to come to each of us in a way that is uniquely our own. It is always a mistake to try to force another person to have an experience that is just like the one you had, or for you to expect that your experience of God will be just like that of another person. Our religious experiences are unique and personal, but there is a possibility for each of us. Each in our own way, we can experience the reality of God. The invisible reality of God is all around us. The Bible tells us that God is always trying to get through to us and to reach us and to have an experience of the reality of God shaped by a relationship with God. The active presence of the invisible God is what the Bible calls the Holy Spirit. We can know that experience is there for us because so many other people have gotten in touch with God and told about the experience. Lots of people have gotten in touch with the invisible God by looking at the visible world around them and realizing that this is so beautifully ordered, this is so miraculous, it must be a work of God. Other people have encountered God in the experiences and the interactions of their life. Some of the stories of those people are in the Bible. The writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews recalled some of the stories of the Old Testament people who lived by faith and said that they had persevered as though they had seen him who is invisible. Hebrews 11:29. There are others who live in our own day, in our own world, who have gotten in touch with God and who live as in seeing the invisible. You probably know some of them, people filled with the Holy Spirit, people who sense God's actions and movement in and throughout their lives and the lives of others. One young man told about his unique experience of the reality of God. He had grown up in the Christian faith. But he said that the greatest religious experience of his life came when he was involved in scientific research. As a doctoral student in the field of chemistry, he and his team of researchers were working to fill in one of the blank spaces in the table of chemical elements. One night he was working late. He was all alone at the computer console. When he began to see the numbers coming up, that meant that his team was fast approaching the discovery that they were seeking. He said he felt the excitement rising within him. And then all of a sudden, there it was. He knew that he and his team had been successful in making a real discovery and pushing back the limits of human knowledge. In that moment, he said that he had never before experienced a real touch in the reality of God. But in doing this scientific experiment, he felt God's presence as they neared their success. He felt that he had gotten in touch with the one who was holding all things together and making them work. A young woman shared a very different kind of experience. She had been on a religious retreat, and during which she came into a very intimate relationship with the God who loves her. She explained that she was the type of person who smelled things and valued the smell of things, whether that was the smell of flowers, the smell of coffee, the smell of food cooking, or the smell of freshly turned earth in her garden. The smells of her husband and her children were all uniquely special to her. In sharing her witness to what the retreat had meant to her, she told of falling off to sleep on her sofa one day and dreaming. And she dreamed that she saw God coming towards her. And as she watched God coming towards her, he rushed in and swooped down and picked her up in a big, warm embrace. And in her dream, she could smell God. To her, that was an experience of God. These people experienced the reality of God in their own unique way. The things that happened to them were the same thing that happened to the early Christians on the day of Pentecost. It would be a mistake for you and I to try to have experiences like theirs. But you can experience the reality of God in a way that is uniquely your own. A few lines written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning tell what an awareness of the reality of God meant for one person. Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush is ablaze with God. Those who can see take off their shoes. The rest just sit around and pick blackberries. The experience that made such a big difference in the lives of the early Christians on the day of Pentecost is there for you. God is there all around you, trying to get through to you. And the God who is there is a God who loves you and who wants a life for you that is the very best life that human beings can possibly have. To fully experience God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Keep on wanting deep experiences. Keep on developing your relationship with the living God. Each and every one of us have or will experience the Holy Spirit on a level that is deeply personal to each of us. Draw me close to you, Lord, because nothing else can take your place. That is my prayer for each of us here today, that we will each be drawn close to God, that nothing else can possibly take his place, that he will live and reign in us in this crazy world that we live in.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do.